Today's daf is Erevin Daf Tzadi Zayin. We left off in Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Beis. We're about 5-6 lines before the lines get wide. So first thing we're going to discuss is if one finds Tcheles. We were discussing if one finds Tfilin. So the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a person finds Tcheles. Can you assume that that Tcheles is kosher to be used for Tzitzis, that it was made Lishma? Or can we not make any such assumption? We're going to compare that to Tfilin. And then when we get into today's daf, the Gemara is going to give a different explanation, aside from the concern that it was made as an amulet, as why maybe not to save a new pair of tefillin. What the svara is in the Mishnah, to be mechalik between a new pair of tefillin and an old pair of tefillin. Then the Gemara is going to tell us how many pairs of tefillin have to be checked when you buy from a particular mocher, from a particular sofer, before you can rely on him as an expert, because a person has to be a mumcha if you're going to buy tefillin from him. And then the Gemara is going to spend some time going back to each line of the Mishnah. Remember, there are significant chunks of the Mishnah that we haven't yet explained. So we can go through each line of the Mishnah and explain each line of the Mishnah, and then right before the Mishnah, Amud Beis, which is the last Gemara we're going to do today, before the Mishnah, is we're going to have three explanations of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the Mishnah, that a barrel of water can be moved on Shabbos by people passing it off to each other. That we're going to discuss what his Shita about Tchum Shabbos for an object for the water might be. So let's pick up from the Gemara. Amar Ablazar, Hamotzi Tcheles B'Shuk. If a person finds Tcheles in the Shuk, Lishonos Psulos Chutin Ksherin. So if he finds dyed wool, if the wool is already made into small twisted strings, he can assume it was made for the mitzvah. Well, just Chutin just means it was made into strings already. The Gemara is going to about to make a Nukimta, small and twisted strings. Then you could assume that it was made for the mitzvah of Tzitzis. It was made Lishma, and therefore you could use such Tcheles for the mitzvah. So, why is it that when it's in large pieces of wool, when it's Lishonos, where we say it's no good, you're not allowed to use it for Tcheles, for the mitzvah of Tzitzis, is because we assume that that it was made, Adaita the Glima, it was just made to be used for Begadim, but it wasn't really made for the mitzvah. Chutinami name Adaita the Glima Tavinu. Why don't you say the same thing about strings? So, a lot of times they'll sew strings of Tcheles into a Beged. So Bishazurim says the Gemara, no, they were twisted. So since they were twisted, obviously it's an indication that these strings were made for tzitzis. So frankly, Gemara Shazurim Nami Neima Daita Desifsa Deglimai Finu. Even if they were twisted, why can't we assume that they were twisted for the sake of being sewn into the edges of the beged? Apparently, twisted strings of bright colors were normally sewn into the edges, to the hems of the begadim. That was the style. So why can't we assume that? So Bimufsakin, they're cut into small pieces. There's no way a person would be tareach so much if he's not going to use it for the mitzvah. That a person's going to tie it back together and then sew it into the edges of the beged, that people don't do. So clearly this was set aside for the mitzvah of tzitzis, and therefore you're allowed to rely on such tcheles. So Amar Rava, Rava says, you're going to say that the whole svara, you have the right to assume that the tcheles was made l'shma, because a person wouldn't be Toreach himself to make it for some other reason in such a way that it's twisted and cut. But what about in our Mishnah? We said if you find a pair of tefillin, it looks just like a pair of tefillin, it has all the parshios of tefillin. So you're going to say, would a person make a kameya that looks like tefillin if it wasn't made the shame mitzvah? That's a big hassle to go through for a kameya. The Tanan, after all, it says in the Mishnah of Medvar Mamur and Biyashanos that when are you allowed to be motzi tefillin, machnis on zug zug? You're allowed to save the tefillin when they're old tefillin. You know they've been used as tefillin. Aval b'chadash was potter, but if they're new, you have to assume that they're made as a kameya. So Amar Rabbi Zeira la'ahava b'rei, so Rabbi Zeira told his son Ava, Poktani, it's not such a popular name, Ahava b'rei, his son Ava, Poktani luhu amotzi tcheles b'shuk, l'shonot psulun chutum ufsakim ksheirun, l'fi shein adam terech. He said, go tell everybody the b'reisa that if you find tcheles in large pieces of wool, so then it's possible, but if you find in small, twisted, cut strings, then you're allowed to use it because a person will not be tarech to do all that just for a beged if he's not going to use it for the mitzvah. So I'm a Rava. Rava is the one that asked the Kasha, that wait a second, why is this any different than our Mishnah where we assume people will be tarech to make a kamea? So Rava says, Mishum ditani la ava bereid Rabbi Zeira, kipi talalah. Why, just because ava bereid, no matter how loud you yell it, it doesn't make it any more understandable. I mean, he's going to tell his son, go publicize this. You can publicize it all you want. It still doesn't make any sense. sense to me. Vatran v'medvar mamur misharas al b'chadashos pater. The Mishnah says explicitly that if you find a new pair of tefillin, it's you're pater from saving it, because we have the right to assume that a person is toreach for the sake of making it a kameya. So why would you assume by tchelis that it's any different than a person would not be toreach? Elo amarava tarach velo tarach tanaihi. It's in fact a machlokas tanaim, whether a person would be tareach for a non-mitzvah purpose to such an extent. Detanya motzi tefillin machnison zug zug, echod ish v'echod isha, echod chadashos v'echod yishanos divra meir, Rabbi Yehuda oser b'chadashos u'mater b'yishanos. You see, it's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether new tefillin should be, whether you're chayiv to save new tefillin by being machnison zug zug. Rabbi Meir says, yes, even new tefillin, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not new tefillin. Alma marsavar tarachinish, umarsavar lo tarachinish. So, what's the machlokas tanaim about? The machlokas must be about, is a person tareach himself? Will a person really trouble himself to make something that looks like tefillin for the sake of a kameya? Rabbi Yehuda said a person will trouble himself to do such a thing, and therefore you have the right to assume that the chadashos are not made lishma, and they do not have full kedushas tefillin. And Rabbi Meir would say, absolutely they're made lishma, no one would be tareach themselves. So that, and therefore, when we talk about tcheles, maybe we're assuming, like Rabbi Meir, when we say that a person would not be tareach himself to make small strings of tcheles, maybe that's assuming like Rabbi Meir. Now Tosas raises the kasha that the Gemara Maseches Menachos and Daf Membeis, the Gemara says that you're only allowed to buy tchelis from a mumcha. You have to know that the person is an expert to buy tchelis from him. But someone who's not a mumcha, you're not allowed to buy tchelis from. So Tosfos is bothered. How can we say that you're going to use the tchelis that you found, even if it's strings and it's cut and it's no better than an eino mumcha, than buying it from an eino mumcha? You're picking it up out of nowhere. So Tosfos mitarets that if you find them shazur and mufsak, and you find them already twisted and already cut down to size, where you know they were made for the sake of tzitzis, so you could be told that a mumcha must have dropped it, because an eino mumcha would not be osik in something that people aren't going to buy from him, and he wouldn't just have on hand all of this stuff. An eino mumcha will say, oh, you're willing to buy tchelis for tzitzis for me, so then he'll spin it for you and he'll cut it for you. But the mumcha is the one that has it prepared in advance, and therefore you have the right to assume that it's from a mumcha. Tosfos Menachos says that which you only buy tchelis from a mumcha is there's a reyusa that maybe he's the one that was tzaveyed and he's not a baki. But if you find in the shuk, we say rov mitzui neitzel tchelis mumchenheim. Meaning this is actually better than buying from a non-mumcha. You buy from a non-mumcha, you know what he is. You know that he's not a mumcha and he may have done the dying in the wrong way. But if you find it in the shuk, we have an assumption that rov mitzui neitzel tchelis mumchenheim, most of the people that deal with tchelis are mumchen, so you can rely on the rov in that situation. Also, the Mordechai brings in the name of the Maran that we should be machmir to be menapets the tzemer of the tzitzis lishma also, that there's niputz lishma on the tzemer as well. The Ramah in Hilchas Tzitzis, Simin Yeralv, says the minig lahakel beniputz, that the minig is that we're making that we don't do niputz lishma. So the Makor Chaim brings a riot to the Ramah from our sugya, because Rashi writes that these lishonos of tcheles are tzemer saruk v'tzavua. So the Gemara says the whole chashash of these lishonos is that maybe they were tzaveya them for the sake of making a beged rather than for the sake of tzitzis. So it sounds like if it wasn't tzavua, if the wool was not tzavua but you found already made wool, that it would be kosher for tzitzis. And we don't say that maybe he combed the tzemer aldas to make a beged out of it. We don't assume that the niputz has to be done lishma. If the niputz had to be done lishma, then forget about finding lishonos shel tcheles, finding lishonos of tzemer in general. You would never be, even if it wasn't yet colored with tcheles, you would never be able to use it for the sake of the mitzvah. So that's a raya for the Shita Sarama is from our Gemara. There's another kasha that's just pointed out in the Achronim. I was bothered when I read the Gemara, and I found in the Masifti, quotes from the Agudas Ezov, He asks that afilu shemadubar b'mufsakin adayin liyesh lachsho shema nitzvu b'tzva kala ilan v'kadei l'ramos u'mavur b'metziyah shetzav adam mamish l'tcheles u'pasal l'tzitzis. He leaves it as a tzarachin that there is a concern throughout Chazal that when you have something that looks like tcheles, it's not always tcheles. There's kala ilan, there's the indigo dye, which is very similar for those who subscribe to the tcheles that we use currently, it's chemically identical to the kala. We see why it was such a good forgery, because it's chemically identical. It comes from a plant rather than from the snail, but it's the same thing. It's the same dye. So we always had to worry, and it was a lot cheaper to get it from a plant. So we always have to worry about kala ilan. So why are we not worried that maybe this was made for the sake of kala ilan? So he leaves it as a tzarachin. It seems like a very strong kasha. I don't know why we wouldn't make that assumption that maybe it's from kala ilan. I saw Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about the new tcheles, already several decades old, but about the tcheles that's in use now, and he doesn't like it because he's not convinced that he rejects the raya that it's chemically identical to kala ilan. So it makes sense if we know that this dye was used all those years ago, and we have archaeological evidence that this dye was being used many years ago in the times that we had tcheles. Why would Chazal only be worried about kala ilan as the forgery and not be worried about this dye that was in use? And not only that, kala ilan is chemically identical to this, so it's got to be that's the perfect forgery. So it seems like it really lines up perfectly that this is the real tcheles. So Rav Asher said he's not convinced that kala ilan is indigo dye, which is wild. I mean, it seems that he says he knows that they Rishonim call it indigo. He says, yeah, but how do you know what they call indigo is what we call indigo? He thinks that maybe the Masorin, what the English word for it has changed over the years. He's not convinced by any of the archaeological evidence, any of that stuff. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara further now. So we had this one explanation of why it is that there's a difference between Chadashos and Yishonos, between new tefillin and old tefillin. Maybe the difference is that new tefillin might be Kameya, and that's why you're not allowed to save the new tefillin. The Gemara says another possibility, though. Says the Gemara, the Hash, the Tani Avu, the Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, Eluin Yishonos called Sheishben Ritzuos Umakusharos, Chadashos, Yeshben Ritzuos Velomakusharos, that now that we've learned that the difference between old and new is that when we define old, it means anything that has Ritzuos and is already Makushar, has already been tied. Chadashos have Ritzuos, but the Ritzuos haven't been knotted yet. They didn't make the knot of the tefillin. So then the Kulei Amalot Tarachinish, we have the right to assume that nobody would be Tarech to make a Kameah. Why is it that you're not allowed to take in the Chadashos on Shabbos? Because you're not allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos, and the only way to take in these tefillin is by wearing them, by putting them on. But the definition of Chadashos is that they aren't knotted yet, so you're not allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos. That's the whole reason that you're not allowed to save Chadashos. Nothing to do with the Kameah. So says Gemara v'le'anvinu me'anev, okay, isn't there an Eitzah? Can't you tie them in a bow and wear them that way? So you don't have to tie a full-fledged kesher. Tie them in a bow. That's mutter to do on Shabbos, and you'll be able to save the tefillin. So two possible answers. Amar Rav Chisda Zos Ameres Haniva Psul B'Tefillin. So Rav Chisda says, either because tying a bow is, you're right, it's mutter to do on Shabbos, but it's not kosher for tefillin, so it's still not going to be wearing the tefillin in the normal way, so that's why you can't tie a bow. Abai Amar Rav Yudal Tamei, Damar Haniva Kshira Mal Yasihi. Abai says, no, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lashitaso, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that tying a bow is also a violation of the Melacha D'Oraisa of kosher, and therefore tying a bow doesn't help you any. So Taima Dani V'Kshiru Mal Yasihi. Halav HaChiyanavlu. Sounds like it's the only problem is that Aniva is considered to be kosher. Otherwise, you would be allowed to tie it into a bow. Vam Rabbi Yehuda Beredra, meaning Midine Tfilin, it would be allowed. It's only Midine Shabbos that you can't tie it into a bow, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vam Rabbi Yehuda Beredra, Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei Drav Kesher Shel Tefillin Alach Al Moshe Misinaihu V'Amar Rav Nachman V'Noyein Levar. Isn't there a very specific way of tying the Kesher Shel Tefillin Alach Al Moshe Misinai? How to make the Dalit, how to make the shape of the Dalit and the Yud in the Kesher of the Tefillin? So how can you say that tying it in a bow Midine Tefillin is good enough, and the only reason you can't do it is Midine Shabbos? Says Gemara Da'an of Luhu Ke'en Kshira Ditu. Maybe you could tie it in a bow in such a way that it still forms the letters of of the Dalit and the Yud still makes the Shakai that we try to make with the Ritzuos of the Tefillin. So maybe we are able to fulfill the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai even when we tie it in a bow. Tosfos raises a couple of interesting points over here. First, Tosfos raises on the top, he says, what's the Havamina? Did we not, was Rav Chisda unaware that Rabbi Yehuda holds Anivas Kshirim Al Yisrael? How could he even ask the Kasha, that Vilan V'me'anav, why don't you just tie it in a bow? It's Yadua in the Malach of Kosher, that Rabbi Yehuda has such a Shita, that it's Kshirim Al Yisrael. So Tosfos says two possible Terutzim. First he says, we'd rather say that the Mishnah, that it's Oser B'chadashos, is going like the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda, and not to lock it in only to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. The second possible answer he says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Anivas Mutter, meaning maybe if even if you hold that anivas kshirim al yasehi, that's when you tie a bow that you plan on leaving there. But when a person ties his tefillin in a bow, the definition of a bow is something you could just pull it out with one pull. When my son asked me to tie his shoes on Shabbos shoes kept on coming untied. He couldn't tie it properly, so he asked me, so I said, should I do a double knot? He said, it's Shabbos, you can't do a double knot. So I thought, you are allowed to do a double knot. I don't know, I didn't want to be less frum than him, but I thought you are allowed to do a double knot, because when you do a double knot, if you pull really hard on one string, it would still come undone. I never knew that. My chavrusa showed me years ago when we were learning the sugya of kosher. You pull really hard with one string, it would still come undone. But anyway, but that's only when does Rabbi Yehuda say that aniva is going to be a kesher malyusa? That's only if the aniva is going to stay. But mistama, if you tie your tefillin in aniva, you don't want to leave it that way. You're going to fix it during the week. You'll make it a proper kesher. So then maybe that's the havamina, that Rabbi Yehuda would be moda, that wouldn't be called a real kesher. That's one important line in Tosfos. The other very critical line in Tosfos, in the next Tosfos, in Dibra Maskal Abaye, he says, Mikan Omer Rabbi Natan, about halfway through, De'ein tsarich b'chol yom lahatir kesher tulin v'lachso v'likshar b'shal shamanichan. We see a raya from here that you don't need to every day untie your tefillin, untie the tefillin shal rosh, and then retie it again. Kigon Shaya Omer Rabbi Eliyahu. Who says you have to do that? That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliyahu, quoted in Tosfos here and Tosfos of Menachos. Dim Kein Chadashos Amay Aser HaChemishim Kshira Halavi Kesher Shel Kayama. If you had to retie your tefillin every day, it wouldn't be a Kesher Shel Kayama when you tied your tefillin, because it was never meant to last more than 24 hours. So it wouldn't be a violation of kosher on Shabbos if Rabbeinu Eliyahu were correct. He has a raya. The Gemara Menachos says tefillin meimusai mevarech aleihem mishas hanocha ad shas. Kshira, that when do we make the bracha on the tefillin? Right after you place them down, but before you do the kshira. So doesn't it sound like you're doing kosher every single day? You make a bracha every single day? He says, no, kosher doesn't mean that. Kosher means to attach it over there. When it says kshira, it means to attach it really well, to fit it in place properly on your head. That's what kosher means when it comes to when it comes to the bracha on tefillin. But you don't have to retie it every day. So that's the raya of Rabbeinu Tam against the Rabbeinu Eliyahu. There is the Mordechai is miyashiv the sheet of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and he says even though kesher shel tefillin is not a kesher shel kayama, but it still could be that it's a violation of kosher on Shabbos. Meaning, even though you're not going to leave it there for more than 24 hours, it could be that it's still kosher on Shabbos. What's the svara that a kesher needs to be left for 24 hours in order to have a din of a kesher? What's the magic of 24 hours? What's the or however long it is of being something that's lasting? It's because that's when we consider it to be a chash of a kesher. It's only a kesher. It's only considered chashuv if it's meant to be long lasting. But the halacha is not a din in how long it lasts. The halacha's din is this a chashuv a kesher. So says Mordechai to defend Rabbeinu Eliyahu that the Torah makes this a chashuv a kesher because you're mekayim the mitzvah with it by being kosher the tefillin. You're mekayim the mitzvah. That makes it a kshira chashuva, and meila it's going to be. It's going to be a violation on Shabbos to tie such a kesher. There is a fascinating sheet of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel Os Hei says that if we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that you tie your tefillin just once, so the tefillin has to be a kesher shel kayama. The definition of kesher shel kayama, again, we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Leo. We paskin Rabbeinu Tam, we don't retire tefillin every day. Most of us don't even know how to make the knots in our tefillin. So we paskin that you just make it once and then you just keep it like that for a long time. So it's got to be a kesher shel kayama. And it's not enough that the Torah is just machshiv this kesher. It has to really be a kesher al kayama. Says the Avnei Nezer. Therefore, when you borrow tefillin from somebody else and the tefillin is the wrong size, so you want to switch the kesher to make it your size, it's no good, because you're going to switch the kesher for how long? Just for one day, and then you're going to give it back to the person who owns it, and he's going to switch the kesher back. So you don't have a kesher shel kayama. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that's the only day you're ever mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, right? But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's no good, says the Avnei Nezer, because it's not going to be a kesher shel kayama. So the Avnei Nezer's Talmud, the Kashuk Lover Gon, in his Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, Rav Ari Tzvi Frimer, in Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin, tries to be miyashev the minhag ha'olam. The minhag ha'olam is that people do borrow each other's tefillin, and they do adjust the size. So he says that based on a different tshuva in the Avnei Nezer, that he only passes a kesher when you want to redo it that same day, when it's going to be put back that same day. But if it's going to be the next morning already, when there's a new mitzvah of tefillin, when there's a new chiyuv of tefillin from the next morning, then it's going to still be considered kesher shel kayama because it lasted the whole day. That's what Rav Ari Tzvi Frimer wants to suggest. In the Eretz Tzvi, he then quotes from the Avnei Nezer's son, the Shem Yishmuel, who is asked that his father's shita seems to go against the minhag ha'olam, and the Shem Yishmuel said, no, the Avnei Nezer said you can't untie it and then retie it. That's not what people do. They loosen it a little, and then they just tighten it so that they could, they just adjust the size, but they never actually take the whole kesher apart. If you're not taking the whole kesher apart, it's the same kesher. That's not a problem. So he didn't think his father's shita, didn't think the Avnei Nezer's shita was against the minhag ha'olam. In the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomer, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Chelik Beis, Simon Beis Os Gimel, says that people are not choshish for the sheet of the Avnei Nezer, because we could be mechalik between making a kesher lichadchila for a short amount of time and then not needing it anymore, like Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who says that that's no good, that every single day when you take off your tefillin, you have to untie the tefillin and then to retie it again. That's considered kesher she'eino shel kayama. That's on the one hand, we could be mechalik between that and a case where mitzido, the kesher could be made liolam. The kesher is there forever. It's just that the bailam of the tefillin needs to change it to make it fit his head. But there's nothing wrong with the kesher. There's no reason, there's nothing that demands that the kesher be changed. And he says, even from Tosus itself, it sounds not like the Avnei Nezer, because Tosus says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that he's cholik on Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that you're not mechuyev to make the kesher b'kol yom. According to Avnei Nezer, Tosus should have said better. Not just you're not mechuyev to make the kesher every day, but if you do make the kesher b'kol yom, you're not yotzei in the midst of tefillin. That's what Rabbeinu Tam should have said. So it sounds from Tosfos against the Avnei Nezer also. Okay, further in the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, where are we up to? Yeah, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav. Halokeach tefillin mimisheinu mumcha. If a person buys tefillin from someone who's not an expert, so Tosfos raises the question, what do you mean buy tefillin from someone who's not an expert? You're not allowed to. The Gemara menachos men beis and beis. Tefillin yesh lamadika ve'eini kachin ela min amumcha. You can only buy from a mumcha. So Tosfos says, tahasim l'chadchi l'kamer deini kachin ela min amumcha shleitzorich l'kroa kol ha'tafar l'bodkan v'ika b'zayin tefillin. He says, that's a din l'chadchila, you should only buy from an expert, so that you shouldn't have to check it. If you buy from an einu mumcha, then you need to actually check the tefillin. In Shulchan Aruch, we pask, in Shulchan Aruch, pask is, how often do you check your tefillin? Says the Shulchan Aruch, never. You never check your tefillin. There's never a chiv check the tefillin. Mezuzah, twice every 7 years, because mezuzah is exposed to the elements and moisture, and so you would check your mezuzah, but you don't check your tefillin according to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So why do people check their tefillin? Elamai, a lot of times we don't even know where we got our tefillin. If we got them from a mumcha, we didn't get them from a mumcha. Very often, people have their I've had many people tell me that they've had their tefillin checked several times over years, and the last time they had it checked, they discovered there was a missing letter. The missing letter didn't just disappear over the, you know, there was no space where the letter was. It didn't disappear over the, even when people check it, sometimes they're not mumchim. So we check our tefillin just to make sure that everything is there. Once it's checked once by someone that you really, really, really trust, then you do more damage by opening it up. As Tosfos points out, it's a bizayin of the tefillin. Shlomo Zalman says you could ruin it more often by opening it and closing it than you would otherwise. So then you could leave it forever. Now it's important to realize, yeah, that's the parshios are probably very safe. You could leave forever. The batim very often get nicked, and the ritzuos very often become pasul. So it's kedai to get tefillin checked, even if you tell them don't open it up. Just check the batim and the ritzuos to replace those every once in a while. But the meikra din, the parshios should not be should not are the Shulchan Aruch says do not get checked. Those says it's a bizayon to open them up and to recheck the parshios all the time. So anyway, so lokeh tefillin mishen a mumcha. Back in the Gemara, let's say a person buys tefillin from someone who's not a mumcha. Bodik shtayim shel yad v'acha shel rosh. So you should check three of the tefillins. You should check two shel yads and one shel rosh, or shtayim shel rosh v'acha shel yad, or two shel rosh and one shel yad. Three in total. So manav shach imichad gavra kazavin. Says Gemara, I don't understand why you do that. Meaning you check to establish a chazaka that the guy knows what he's doing and that he's selling kosher tefillin. But manav shach imichad gavra kazavin. If you're buying from one person, livdok o shalosh shel yad o shalosh shel rosh. O mitreit flasa gavriz. Imitreit flasa gavra zavin kol chad v'chad l'bayi b'dika. So if you're buying it all from one person, so why don't you just check three shel yads or three shel roshes? And if you're buying it from multiple people, well then there is the chazaka is not going to help you anyway. You're going to have to check each and every pair that you buy. So it says we're talking about where you buy it from one person. And you need to establish him as an expert both in shel yad and shel rosh. These are different expertise. So it says shel yad vishel rosh. But wait a second, doesn't Rabbi Bar Shmuel teach us that you're supposed to check three shel yad vish shel rosh? Doesn't that mean three of one or three of the other is good enough? You don't need to have some combination of shel yads and shel roshes. So lo shalosh mehen shel yad mehen shel rosh. No, what he meant to say is you check a total of three. Some of those three should be shel yad, some shel rosh, whatever combination you want. Va'atani Rav Kahana b'tfilin bodek shtayim shel yad v'shel rosh. I be Rav Kahana taught that you check two shel yads and shel roshes, not three. So how can you say it's three? Hamani Rebbe hidam shrezim niyavi chazaka. That assumes like the shita of Rebbe that a chazaka is established with two times, not with three times. So then you would only need to check two. You wouldn't need to check all three. E Rebbe, but if we're going like Rebbe, Eim Seifa v'chem b'tzavas hasheni v'chem b'tzavas hashlishi. That if you find bundles of tefillin, you have to check the second bundle, three of the tefillins, and the third bundle, the Rebbe Shlishi Miyislei. But according to Rebbe, why the third? There's no need for a chazaka for the third. So Mod Rebbe B'tzvasim Dimitrei Tzalza Gavri Zavin. Now, when there are bundles of tefillin, we have the right to assume that the salesman of the tefillin got each bundle from a different sofer. So if he got each bundle from a different sofer, so then you need to make a chazaka in each bundle. Ihach Yafilu Revi Inami Yafilu Chamishinami. Then why does it stop at three? Then even four bundles, five bundles, however many bundles, each one's from a different sofer. So Ein Ochinami, you're right. V'ayduktal yishlishi lafuki mechizkia liol mafil rvi v'chamishinami. Ein Ochinami, when it's just telling lafuki mechizkia, tell me that even though generally two times is a chazaka, nevertheless over here, since it comes from multiple people, you need to check even upwards of two times, which would be three, four, however many different bundles there are, they all could have come from different sofrim. Matzun tzvasim okrichos. Now we go back to explain each line of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, if you find the tefillin tzvasim okrichos, which seem to mean the same thing, that they're piled together. So my tzvasim, my krichos. What does tzvasim and what does krichos mean? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, hein hein tzvasim, hein krichos. They mean the same thing. Tzvasim zuvi zavi krichos de krichon tuva. Difference is tzvasim are first tied together in sets, the shel yad and the shel rosh, and then they're put together in a bigger pile, whereas krichos are just a whole bunch of different tefillin put together in a bigger pile without first being tied together in sets. But it's the same thing. So what's the halacha when you find giant piles of tefillin on Shabbos? So machshech aleinu mavian. So then you stay with them until after Shabbos, and then you bring them all back at once. Instead of being machnisan, zug zug. So v'amayli alinu zug zug. Why would you stay with them? Shouldn't you try to start saving them on Shabbos? Bring them in one pair at a time? Some ravitza b'reid ravidu l'didim mefarshi l'minei da'aba kol shi'ilu machnisan zug zug. V'kolos kodem shkiyas hachama machnisan zug zug. V'ilo machshech aleinu mavian. We're talking about a case where there's too many. If you were to try to take them in one pair at a time, Shabbos would end before you'd be finished. So in that case, better to just stay with them and guard them. But if you were able to bring them in one pair at a time and finish before Shabbos is over, then yeah, you know, chinami, bring them in, zug zug. Ubesakana mechasim v'olei, three lines from the bottom. We said in time of sakana, so you cover up the tefillin and then you go on your way. Because what can you do? You can't stand there and guard them. You can get in trouble. So v'atanyu ubesakana malichim pachas pachas mi'ar ba'amos. But wait a second. The Braisa says a different eitzah what to do in a shas sakana. Not to cover them up and walk away, but to carry them less than dalet amos at a time. So amarav lo kasha. Different types of sakana. Ha b'sakanas nachri, ha b'sakanas listim. It depends what kind of sakana we're talking about, whether it's a sakana of a band or a sakana of a non-Jewish government. So when it's a sakana of the non-Jewish government, so then you don't do anything. Then by sakanas of the gelulim, Rashi says the mevazel tefillin malichan. Then you should carry them. But sakanas listim that someone's going to try to mug you, so then you should just cover them up and leave them there. So amalei abaye b'mayu kimtul masnisim b'sakanas of the gelulim. So our Mishnah was talking about where it's sakana of the non-Jewish government. If you're worried that the government's going to find out that you're doing the mitzvah of tefillin and they're going to have problems with that, so what does the Sefer say? That you should go, that Rabbi Shimon says, to pass it along from one person to the next, less than dalet amos at a time. Each person passes from one to the next, until you get the tefillin to a safe place. If you're trying to keep things a secret, it may not be a good idea to enlist the entire town to keep passing things off from one person to the other. So chisurim So yeah, we have to add in a detail to our mission that's missing. That we say after the Reisha, after we say that you should just cover them up and leave them there, that's only by a sakana of Goyim. But when you have a sakanas listim, then you should carry it less than dalet amos at a time. Meaning we add in that detail that the kind of sakana that we're talking about when we say to carry it less than dalet amos at a time is a sakanas listim, is that you're afraid that you can get mugged. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nosan L'Chavero. So Rabbi Shimon says you give it not just Pachas Midalat Amos at a time, you give it to Chavero, L'Chavero, L'Chavero, each one passes on to the next guy. Again, and that's so bad in the case of Sakanas Listim. So says Rabbi Maiko Mifugi, what's this machlokas about? Is it better to carry less than four Amos at a time, or better to keep passing off from one person to the next? So Mar Sover Pachas Midalat Amos Adif, Diyamer Nosan L'Chavero, V'Chavero, L'Chavero, Avshem Milz to the Shabbos. So the Tanakama says that it's better to do less than dalet amos at a time, because if you keep passing off from one person to the other, it's going to be a bizayon to Shabbos. That not only is this malach of carrying the tefillin in being done on Shabbos, but it's being done berovam. It's being done with as many people as possible, that everyone's passing from one to the next. So that's not a good idea. Umar sovereign nosan lechaveru adif. Rabbi Shimon says, no, I would rather do that. I would rather pass off from one person to the next. Di amr malicham pachos me'arba amos zimnim delavadaite vasilasuyinu arba amos brishus ram. Because if you're left to your own devices, you're doing this all by yourself, then there's a concern that a person might come to carry more than four amos. But if you have so many people involved, when one person passes to the next, no one's carrying it at all. No one's moving it out of their spot at all. So you don't have to worry that it's going to come to carrying dalet amos. V'chein b'no, and the Mishnah said, and the same is true with your son. You should do the same thing with your son when you need to bring him inside. So b'no my bayi hasam. What's a baby doing out in the field, in the middle of nowhere? How did you get the baby there? So the Bein Menashe tana b'sheyoladeto ima b'sada. The mother went into labor out there in the middle of the field and gave birth right there. So that's what happened. Umaya filu hein meya. So what does it mean? Even if there are 100 people, what's the chiddush? Okay, we get it. You pass from one person to the next till you get to the city. What's the chiddush that even if you have to pass off to 100 different people, generally, to have so many people handling a baby is not good for a baby. It's not recommended for a baby. But it's not a sakana, so it's not something that we would say is usher to do. It's just generally not recommended to hand off a baby to 100 different people. But in this case, it's still the best option, and therefore we would pass off the baby from one person to the next. So the this idea of passing off a baby from one person to the next, there are poskim that discuss, so what about this minhag Yisrael that we have of a kvater at a bris milah? What's the idea of a kvater? Instead of one person just bringing the baby in, and one person passes to the other person, to the other person, till they bring the baby in. Normally they're mechabed a couple, it's a skula for having children, so mechabed a couple to pass from one to the other to do a kvater. So the minhag Yisrael is that's what's done. There's a tshuva of Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Chelik Yud Beis, and Zion, says the reason for the minhag of kvater is based on Barovam Hadras Melech. That here we are, we're going to do a mitzvah, so we want to get as many people involved in the mitzvah as possible. He quotes the makor of this is the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah responds to someone who had the Or Zeruah Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Tezvav responds to someone who had a taina with the minhag Yisrael that when we take out a Sefer Torah, what do? We give one person psicha, and then he hands off the Sefer Torah to the chazan. Why don't we just have the chazan go? It's the chazan's mitzvah. Let the chazan go take the Sefer Torah. It's kiilu the person person who's taking the Torah doesn't want it, so he hands it off to the chazan. So he was ma'orah on this minhag Yisrael, they didn't like it. So the Arzurua says, no, it minhag Yisrael Torah, it's a good minhag, and the reason that we do it is Barovam Hadras Melech. Here we're about to do the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, we want as many people involved, not as many, we don't pass it around to everybody, but we want as many people, we want more people involved, so it's a greater kvod shem shemayim to get more people involved in the mitzvah. That's the idea of Barovam Hadras Melech. And that's what he says, that even if a person, the Arzurua says, that if so a person buys the rights to do Galila on the Sefer Torah, let's say you have a guy, when one person bought the rights to do Galila, there's someone else that keeps picking up all the different parts and handing it to him. And he says, I want to do Galila, I bought the rights to do Galila, stop handing me things. Says the Arzurua, no, Barovam Hadras Melech, the other person has the right. In fact, you could sell the right to be the guy to pick up the things, says the Arzurua. We got to remember that for next year. You could sell the right to be the guy to pick up the things, to hand to the Golo, so you have Barovam Hadras Melech, you have as many people involved as possible. So he says that's probably the idea of the kvata, to get as many people as possible. This is paskin lahalacha in Or Chaim Simkuf Mem Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Arzurua says the greatest raya is Gemara Pesachim Samach Dalal and Beis. How did they do the Zrikas Adam by the Korban Pesach? So they wouldn't just have one kohen be molech the dam. They would all sit there with cups and they would pass the cups from one to the other. They would all line up. Why are you passing the dam from one to the other in an assembly line? But Barovam Hadras Melech, get as many people involved in doing the mitzvah as possible. So Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo just points out that when you pass, it should bring the baby closer to the mitzvah. It shouldn't just stand be passing back and forth from one person to the other side by side. Each one should bring the baby closer to where the milah is going to be done, and that way each one is participating in the mitzvah. Rav Menashe Klein is not convinced by this reason, because it says it could be dafka by the dam of the karbon, or by Atzah Sefer Torah, by the galila, that it doesn't hurt anybody to pass from one to the other. But the baby, you're not supposed to have so many people handling a baby, so maybe it's not as strong of a reason for the baby. But he says maybe Shomer Mitzvah Liyad Davara, we're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah, so we have the right to assume that there will be some level of protection for the sake of the mitzvah. Okay, further in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nosin Adam Chavis. Rabbi Yehuda says, person could take a barrel. So Valesli Rabbi Yehuda Hadit Nana Behema, meaning you're allowed to take the barrel even beyond to wherever your tchum is. You're allowed to take the barrel. So Valesli Rabbi Yehuda Hadit Nana Behema Vakelim Karagli Abaylim. But wait a second, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that Behema and Kelim take on the tchum of the Bailim? So how can Rabbi Yehuda allow transporting a barrel of water by passing it from person to person even beyond the tchum of the original Bailim? So the Gemara is going to suggest three explanations why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think the barrel of water is limited to a Tchum Shabbos. Explanation number one, Amrei Shlakish Mishum Levi Saba, Hachem Ayaskinu B'ma'ar Michavis L'chavis. You're pouring the water from one barrel to the next. Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Damar Mayim, Eim Ve'amamish. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that water is insignificant, it's not limited to a Tchum. Titzan, Rabbi Yehuda Pelt B'mayim Nei Shem Ve'amamish. Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly in the Mishnah, Omai Lo Talich Zu, Lo Yehalich Masha B'zu, Yosim Miraglei Habaylim. So you're not supposed to be molich more than Raglei Bailim, something that's significant. Wait a second, but that's only when the water is absorbed in a dough. So we say the water is not limited to its original tchum. But when the water is in a pot of food, or certainly if it's be'en, so would Rabbi Yehuda still say it's insignificant, doesn't have a tchum? Even in a kedera, the water is not batel. So when it's be'en, it's certainly not going to be batel. So as we reject possibility number one. So possibility number two, why does Rabbi Yehuda allow this with water? We're dealing with water that never had a tchum. It was water that was pulled from a flowing river. So even the barrel is allowed to be transported because the barrel is bottled to the water. If a person carries a live person on a bed, he's potter. Even for carrying the bed. Why isn't the bed limited to a tchum? Because the bed is tafel to the person. Similarly, when you bring food in a kli, you're potter for carrying the kli, because the kli is tafel to the food. Wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda only sounds like you're allowed to do this in a shayara, but not when it's not a caravan. Our mission must also be talking about a shayara. Abai says, no, if it were a shayara, then even if it was kona shvisa, it would be allowed. Shalob shayara, chavish shakan shvisa, umayim shalok kona shvisa. Shalob shayara, it's only permissible when the barrel was kona shvisa, but not the water, because based on the svara that we said before, that the barrel is tafel to the water. Third explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, Ravashi Amarach b'chavis the hefker askinon umayim the hefker askinon. We're dealing with a barrel and water that's hefker. Uman amrulo. So then, who's the amrulo that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to worry. Chepzei hefker, not kodesh shvisa. There's no tchum issue. So who's the amrulo that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He damar chepzei hefker kodesh shvisa. Something like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that chepzei hefker are kodesh shvisa. Umay lo talikzu yosim ragli abaylim lo yahalchu elu yosim mikelim sheyesh lem baylim. When it says lo yahalchu Yosim Ragle Abaylim, it means that the barrel and the water cannot travel any further than Kalim that are actually owned by the Baylim. There is an interesting discussion over here about when things are considered to be tuffel to a person. We discussed a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned I had a friend who had a guest over for Shabbos who wasn't religious, and he made tzitzis with him on Erev Shabbos, and he gave him the tzitzis to wear, and then the person went outside the tchum, he drove home that night. So he wanted to know, did he violate Lif Neiver by giving him tzitzis? Because now he carried those tzitzis outside the tchum Shabbos. When do you say a beged is tafel to a person? In Shmir Shabbos, it quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that a beged a person wears is definitely tafel to a person, would not be a violation of tchum Shabbos. We'll pick up Shabbos with the Mishnah tomorrow. Right.